Imagine a biological process affecting half the world's population, 3.5 billion women experiencing it monthly for 40 years, yet so stigmatized we avoid discussing it openly. While we've been busy tiptoeing around the subject, menstruation has been medicalized, commercialized, and increasingly manipulated. Modern women experience approximately 500 periods in a lifetime, compared to our great-grandmother's 160, thanks to better nutrition, fewer pregnancies, and longer lifespans. Yet despite this biological reality, we still can't discuss bleeding in polite society. Why has such a fundamental aspect of human experience remained shrouded in shame? What happens when we finally break the silence surrounding the crimson wave that connects women across generations and cultures? Our culture has developed numerous euphemisms for menstruation, from playful, saddling up old Rusty, to grim, the curse. This isn't uniquely American. The Netherlands has "the tomato soup is overcooked," Brazil has "I'm with Chico," and England has "flying the Japanese flag." These expressions reflect our discomfort with addressing menstruation directly. Even medical language shows bias. Menstruation gets negative verbs like decay and discharge, while ejaculation gets empowered terms like spurt and shoot, reinforcing the false notion that menstruation is a passive failure rather than a complex biological process. This coded language significantly impacts education, with up to 10% of girls still experiencing their first period without understanding what's happening. Meanwhile, the feminine hygiene industry, worth billions annually, has co-opted the conversation, building its success on shame and secrecy. We stand at the threshold of a brave new world regarding menstruation. The process is being chemically redefined with promises of no more periods through menstrual suppression, with pharmaceutical companies marketing options that let women control when and how often they menstruate. The pitch is compelling. Who wouldn't want to eliminate cramps, bloating, and PMS? Yet, shouldn't we question whether menstruation universally requires elimination? The pharmaceutical industry has effectively transformed menstruation from a normal bodily function into a medical condition requiring intervention. One influential argument claims regular periods are historically abnormal and dangerous, conveniently made by a pioneer of injectable contraceptives with financial interests in these products. Most concerning is the limited research on menstrual suppression. Bar Laboratories' safety claims for Seasonal were based on just 300 women studied for only 1 year. Research suggests synthetic hormones may increase aggression and anxiety while dampening libido. Environmental concerns exist too, as synthetic estrogen disrupts aquatic ecosystems and may contribute to human health issues. When did a natural process become a disease requiring treatment? Menstruation became the ultimate taboo millennia ago when societies lacked scientific explanations for women's ability to bleed regularly without harm while creating life. Ancient peoples viewed menstrual blood as life's essence. Hindu legend describes the Great Mother's substances clotting to birth the cosmos. Adam's name stems from Hebrew Adama, meaning bloody clay, though modern scholars often sanitize this to red earth. Early science offered little clarity. Aristotle deemed menstrual blood excess material not formed into a fetus. Hippocrates claimed the uterus wandered through the body, causing hysteria, a theory persisting for centuries. Pliny the Elder's claims that menstrual blood could kill insects, dull razors, and drive dogs mad remained unchallenged until 1492. As recently as the 1920s, menstruating women were barred from churches, mines, and food production. Even the word taboo derives from the Polynesian tupua, referring to menstruation, reflecting the paradoxical view of menstrual blood as both poisonous and powerful. These ancient fears continue shaping modern attitudes, despite our presumed enlightenment. Society has long scorned emotional women, using terms like harridan, shrew, and bitch. Angry women face harsh judgment from everyone, including themselves. Many women feel shame about emotional outbursts because cultural messages suggest truly feminine women should always be patient and sweet-tempered. Despite men committing nearly all violent crimes, a woman's anger triggers disproportionate alarm. Premenstrual syndrome includes physical and emotional symptoms appearing before menstruation and disappearing after flow begins. Americans widely believe all women suffer this monthly madness. With over 150 identified symptoms, many contradictory, most women believe they have PMS. Yet there's no scientific consensus on PMS's causes, treatments, or precise definition. Despite popular belief, no evidence shows a hormonal basis. Women claiming to have PMS show identical hormonal cycles to those who don't. PMS and PMDD are largely Western constructs. While premenstrual symptoms are recognized globally, their pathologization is primarily American. The World Health Organization doesn't recognize PMDD as an illness, though the FDA does. For many women, premenstrual days actually bring increased energy, creativity, and focus. As Roseanne Barr noted, "Women complain about PMS, but I think of it as the only time of the month when I can be myself." Femcare advertising has shaped women's attitudes by selling emotions, fantasies, and fears alongside products, using coded language like shower fresh and protection. These advertisements have capitalized on centuries-old shame since the 1920s, with a consistent message: menstruation is embarrassing and must be hidden, and only their products can prevent humiliation. Early advertisers transformed a natural function into a hygienic crisis requiring expert intervention, first creating a problem, then offering their solution. The 1980s saw fierce competition after the toxic shock syndrome crisis, with companies attacking competitors' products while emphasizing their own benefits. Modern marketing targets teens online through games, quizzes, and lifestyle content. Despite superficial improvements in messaging, the underlying narrative persists. Your period remains a shameful secret that must be concealed. What if we challenge this narrative? What if menstruation were treated as the normal biological process it is, rather than a monthly catastrophe requiring industrial intervention? Commercial femcare products carry hidden risks. In 1980, superabsorbent tampons caused 38 deaths from toxic shock syndrome. Though manufacturers removed harmful ingredients, TSS still affects thousands yearly. Tampons contain trace dioxin compounds that accumulate in body tissue and contribute significantly to landfills. Alternatives offer ecological and economic benefits. The menstrual cup costs about $30 and lasts up to 10 years, compared to the 250 to 300 pounds of disposables the average woman discards in her lifetime. Made of silicone or rubber, it creates a vacuum seal preventing leaks and can be worn for 12 hours without TSS risk. Many alternative menstrual treatments have ancient roots. Herbs like black cohosh, dong quai, and red raspberry leaf have centuries of use. Research shows calcium and manganese together reduce mood swings and cramps, vitamin E regulates hormones, and B6 relieves bloating. Physical therapies like acupuncture, yoga, and sex help relieve menstrual discomfort. Organizations like TampAction and Blood Sisters promote menstrual activism through education and advocacy. The path forward combines modern products with ancient wisdom while reclaiming the conversation. Breaking the silence around menstruation transforms how society views women's bodies. By rejecting shame and embracing education, we create a world where natural biological processes are understood, not hidden, and young girls are empowered by their first period, reclaiming our narrative, bodies, and power.